Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
I'm telling you, it has already been an amazing evening, but it's about to get even better because we do something probably about once a quarter, a couple of times a year, that honestly is one of my favorite things that we do. We do something called a 3x10, which is where we choose three people, three leaders in our church, to come up and share their thoughts over a 10-minute period. I'll tell you why I love this so much, because it really reflects the heart and the culture of this house. So you guys might not have heard this before, but if you want to know what C3 San Diego is about, I reckon if I could sum it up in one word, it is the word awaken. Because I know that there is world changers sitting in our church. Thank God it's not just on Drew and I. Like literally, you should all thank God that it's not just on Drew and I. I love that God has given this house so many incredible people that aren't just incredible by what they do, but actually in who they are. So tonight we're going to hear from three different people that are from all different, you know, parts and seasons of life. But I'm telling you, what each of them have in common is they have let God do something magnificent in them. And this is the thing I know. When God does something in us, He doesn't just leave it there. When God does something mighty in us, He always gives us an opportunity for it to flow through us. I'm telling you, I'm up here tonight, campus pastoring the greatest church on the planet. Yeah, you should cheer for yourself. You're worth cheering for yourself. But I'm telling you, I'm not up here because I'm anything special. I'm up here because I allowed God to do something in me, and then I sat under incredible leaders like our senior pastors, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne, who actually helped. They were the midwives to some dreams in me. I'm telling you, they saw something in me, and they were part of putting something in my hand and letting me multiply it and letting me have more impact than I ever thought I could do on my own. So this is my favorite thing I get to do, not even as a pastor, but just as a friend and a fellow Christian, to watch the people in our church step into everything that they are called to be. I love that song we sung tonight. You are who God says you are. And that's what really tonight is. It's letting people be everything that God said they are. They are called to be the head, not the tail. They're called to have a voice in this generation. So listen, tonight we're always rowdy and we're always excited, but we're going to turn it up tonight. All right, you ready? Is this side ready? Oh, there we go. What about the middle section? Okay. Now, I don't need to ask. I know this side's ready. Okay. Because for all three of these people, this is the first time they've done a full 10-minute thought like this. But we are going to holler. We're going to cheer. We're going to laugh at their jokes. It's going to get crazy in here, okay? So let me tell you about the three people we have coming up tonight. The first person we're having up tonight is, you might know him as Rudy the Mexican Cutie. But it is the incredible Rudy Batiz. He is an incredible man, and you know what makes him so incredible? It isn't the successful business he has, but I'm telling you, he's probably one of the most successful people, I'm going to call it, in all the world. I don't know, his business is incredible. But what actually makes Rudy so successful is I think he's managed to have success in his business, but also in all other areas of his life. He has a phenomenal marriage. His wife Gladys, you guys might have seen her around before, the classiest, awesomest lady in all the land. They have three amazing children, so I know what he brings tonight is coming as a father heart, as somebody who has, you know, done some seasons of life that I know I haven't, and I'm so excited to sit under his wisdom tonight. And then second of all, we have the incredible, it's like the night of 16-year-olds tonight. We have another 16-year-old coming up to preach, the incredible Axel. Yeah, if you knew him, you'd be cheering too. I don't often call him Axel because it doesn't seem fit. I'd like to call him Bishop Axel, because that is what this kid is called to be. You know what? People might say, oh, how nice it is, those pastors giving a chance to the next generation. I'm telling you, I want to rage against that next generation culture. I'm telling you, Axel isn't the next generation. He's this generation. And I'm telling you, he has an opportunity to preach in his school and his spheres of influence more than I ever have. So I'm so excited tonight to hear the wisdom on this young man. Incredible. And then we're going to come home with one of the best, the incredible Katie Yeager. I'm telling you, we have a church of mum girls in here. Her newborn turned 2 months old today, and you wouldn't know it because she looks like Beyonce. It's all right, I'm dealing with my jealousy. It's fine. But I'm telling you, I love that we're going to end on Katie because her heart is to see people have breakthrough, to see ministry. Something really cool, and they would never say this on a microphone. So I want to actually thank her as my friend. So when we started this campus 3 years ago, you know, we're on the other side of the world without friends and family. And I'm so thankful to friends like Katie who become family. And I'm telling you right now, they live in Oceanside because they're waiting to move into their house down in Eastlake next month in Jesus' name. So for the last 6 months, they've been driving from Oceanside to Eastlake. Come on, if that doesn't get you some extra points in heaven, I don't know what will. So I am so excited to hear these three tonight. So remember, this is the series on Accelerate. We're talking about all the ways in our life that we can accelerate towards the life God had purposed for us. So let's everyone get on their feet. Let's get a holler. Let's get excited. So we're going to do this fast. I'm going to invite Rudy up, and then we're going to pass it off. So let's give the Massivus 5 p.m. C3 South Campus cheer as we welcome Rudy and then Axel and then Katie.
Can you hear me? I read in the New York Post last Friday that Pastor Drew and Pastor Emma were selected the number one pastors in the 35 and under category. So we love you. That's how we see you guys. And I want to honor Pastor Jürgen and Pastor Leanne for just obeying the call to come to San Diego because of their ministry. My family is dreaming and has vision for their life. And I'm so thankful for that. And this afternoon or evening, however you want to call it, if you're Mexican, it's afternoon. If you're American, it's evening. So the title of the message that I have for tonight is Can You Hear Me? Oh, you may be seated. Sorry, guys. I don't get to do this often. If you can stand or stand till you get tired. I don't know. But the title of the message is Can You Hear Me? And in the Bible, in Revelation, in chapter 2, God is speaking to the angel of the church of Ephesus, and is telling him, you know, you guys are doing a good job. You're doing good deeds. You're serving the people. You're working hard. You're persevering. You're being careful that no false doctrine comes into the church. And yet I hold one thing against you, he says. You have left your first love. And in verse 7 it says, he who has his ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And, you know, we all have ears, but are we listening? You know, is the question. And I want to talk about my personal testimony. Just like the Lord took an x-ray of the church at Ephesus, you know, the Lord took an x-ray of my life at one point. And, you know, just like a loving father wants the best for his children and corrects them, you know, God took an x-ray and wanted to correct a certain area of my life. In the early 2000s, God was speaking to me, but I didn't have ears to hear. And he tried to speak to me for a couple of years on a particular subject. But he did tell me I was doing good things. I was faithful at church. I was tithing. I was being a spiritual leader. I was making sure that my kids were being fed and taking them to church. I was doing devotions. I was going to Bible study Connect group every week. Yet, you know, in the x-ray, God showed me my fracture. And my fracture was in the area of stewardship, in the area of finances, which I failed terribly. And, you know, I had made poor financial decisions. You know, I was a slave to debt. I taken into a lot of debt. And the Bible says in Proverbs 22:7, it says that the borrower is a slave to the lender. Wow. And one of the saddest moments that I ever experienced at church is when these missionaries came to the church I was attending, and they were doing an incredible work in South America with the children, and they were raising funds to provide for their next year at the ministry field. And I was there, and I wanted to help, and my heart was moved, and I wanted to help, but I couldn't because all my money was to provide for my family and to pay my debt, and I couldn't be a blessing. And it really bothered me, and I felt terrible. But then another occasion happened that I co-signed the loan. And in Proverbs 22:7, you notice how the Bible has everything? In Proverbs 22:26, it says, do not co-sign a loan. I co-signed a loan, and they didn't pay it. and I had a judgment for a lot of money against me. And so I went on and just made, you know, just started to live, you know, above my means and making poor decisions, and things went, you know, were going pretty bad. And then, but I could hear God was speaking to me. God was trying to speak to me, but I didn't have ears to listen. And then, you know, we had a successful business, and then all of a sudden it starts going bad. And then we had to close the business down. And then I made an investment in another business and lost 100% of what I invested. And then I foreclosed on our home, which was pretty bad. If you're the leader of a home and you're trying to put it all together and provide for your family, it feels terrible. And then I was swimming in debt. But, you know, and practically I lost almost everything. Not everything, but I lost almost everything. And but during that time, that of that process, when God was trying to speak to me and I wouldn't listen, trying to open my ear, you know, get my attention, I wouldn't open up my ears. During that time, you know, I felt convicted. There was periods where I felt convicted. It's not like I wasn't seeing him trying to reach my heart, but I didn't listen. Then spoke to my beautiful wife several times. Honey, let's make a budget. Let's take care of our finances. And I didn't listen. And God wanted me to get back on track. And then it happened that I remember one time I opened up a book and I read it, and it says, you know, you should use wisdom for finances, because the more you make, you can get caught in the trap that the more you owe. And I didn't listen, and God wanted me to get back on track. And then I would read the scriptures, the Bible, and I would read about finances, and I would speed read over the verses because I didn't want a convention. And you know, Mexicans don't speed read, guys. We take our time for everything. You never, you know, our national horse is not a horse, it's a donkey. You never seen a donkey at the Kentucky Derby. We take our time for everything, you know? And then my wife, I would go to the services and I felt convicted. You know, sometimes it was touching the subject of finances, and I didn't want to look at my wife because she was going to give me the four most popular convicting words that I ever heard. I told you so. So I didn't want to do that. But then one particular day, the Holy Spirit teamed up with my wife, and I got the biggest 1-2 punch that I've ever received that knocked me out. Not even Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, or Mayweather together had that power. I was coming back from a business trip one particular day. When I left the business trip, I left my Wonder Woman. When I came back, I don't know what you call it, the Hulk's wife, but I think you call it the Hulkstress. We've been married in 2 months, it's going to be 31 years. There's... Woo! And in 31 years, there's only one day that I've been kicked out of my house. And it was because of she had enough. She told me, that's it. You need to order your finances. You're not sleeping here tonight. And I was about to get really spiritual and tell her, in your anger, do not sin. Yeah. And I was going to tell her, you know, we can't go to bed angry. But there wasn't even a chance. And I don't know if that's biblical what she did, but it sure got my attention. So I go to a hotel. And then I'm there. And I want to tell you that I wish I would have slept really comfortable, peaceful, and everything, but I didn't sleep. I was convicted. I was totally convicted, and just had a horrible night, but a good night, because I ended up surrendering to the Lord. And, yeah, and I got it. You know, I finally got it. After a couple of years of trying to get my attention, I finally got it. And, you know, I want to tell you something. Sometimes God wants to reset you. Do a soft reset, and he calls you and wants to do a rough, soft reset. But since I didn't listen and I didn't have ears to hear, he had to do a master reset. And that's when I lost everything. I had to go through this difficult time. But at that time, what I ended up doing was I recognized what I have done wrong. And I told Lord, no more. It's either God's way or God's way. There was no choice. I said, I cannot continue like that. I surrender. I want have a heart that you can bless, a heart that can be trustworthy, a heart that you can use. And I did that, and I had that moment where I recognized, and I told the Lord, you know, I recognized what I did wrong. The second thing I did, I repented. I repented. I asked God for forgiveness. Forgive me for the poor steward that I was, but it's not going to happen again. And I repented. You know, I knelt with my wife, and I told her, I'm sorry. I asked forgiveness to my wife because, you know, she wanted to have, you know, financial security. And that's one of the most important needs that a woman has. And then I did something. I studied. After that, I studied what the Bible says about finances. Then I started to read books from authors that are experts on the subject, because I said, I am never going back to where I was again, because I will listen to the Word of God. And I started to read books like Dave Ramsey and all those books, and I turned, you know, was able to turn around. It was painful, because I went from, you know, since God took me to square one because I wouldn't listen. It was painful. It took years to get through the process, but I had to trust the process. I had to get to the other side. I had to show that my heart was worthy to be blessed, and so I had to walk in obedience, so that God can transform and accelerate my heart. And then all of a sudden, you know, God started to rebuild me. Then God started to restore me. Then God started to reposition me. And then the greatest thing that I've experienced is that God started to replace the things that I had lost. And not only that, but then it opened the door for God to prosper me. And God prospered me to a whole new level that I have never experienced before, because I obeyed. And that's acceleration. That's acceleration. So no? But I want to ask you, I have a question for you guys. You know, how about you? Has God taken an X-ray of your life recently, or maybe a couple years ago? I want to encourage you. Oh, the soft reset's a lot better than the master reset. It's a lot less painful. Make the little adjustment, get back on the track, than having to go off the derail your life. But maybe in your X-ray, God is speaking you because you're abusing alcohol, and God is saying, get back on the right track. Maybe it's your finances like me, and God is saying, get back on the right track. Or maybe it's harsh words you speak harsh words to your kids, to your wife, to your husband, to your family, and God is saying, get back on the right track. Or maybe it's resisting, submitting to spiritual authority. And God is saying, get back on the right track. If you want the blessing of God, get back on the right track. And I don't know where you're at tonight, but I know that God is speaking. And I want to, from my personal testimony, I want to tell you that it's not worth it. Surrender now. Give it to God now. Give your heart to God. Let him take over. Let him be the number one influence in your life. Okay? So let me pray for you guys. Father, we just pray right now for all of us here tonight, Lord. Father, we don't want to resist. We want to embrace you, Lord. We want you to transform our hearts. We surrender every area, Lord. I pray for anybody that's dealing with situations or areas that they have not resisted. I pray they would have the courage tonight to just surrender. Surrender to you, Lord, and let you invade their life, and you transform it, and you restore them, and you rebuild them, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
Let's give it up for Rudy, because that was awesome. All right. I'll wait it out. Okay. So, first of all, honor is due to our pastors, Jurgen and Leanne, and pastors Drew and Emma, and to Travis and Suzanne, because I owe them so much of my life. Just, I would not be standing here. I would not be standing at all where I am if it wasn't for them, for all that they've done in my life. So thank you guys so much. So to be honest, I was kind of nervous when they told me that I was going to do a 3x10. But one of the things that calmed me down was just the fact that we have message series. And that was really easy from when Pastor Emma told me, okay, just focus on something that accelerates your life. And for me, that was so easy to think about, and that's obedience. And that's what I want to talk about right now. Because if I could sum up, like, Christianity as a concept, like Jesus coming down to save us for our sins, and even though we didn't deserve it, I would say that that word is grace. But if I could summarize the Christian walk and the Christian life after that and living in faith, I would say that it's obedience. And so, and I think that is just, that's just like the magic answer, and that's the title of my message. Okay, I wanted to see that. Okay. yeah, it's just... some of my teachers tell me in some of my classes, if you're writing, like if we're writing essays, like this is your magic answer. You write about this and you pretty much can't get it wrong. And for me, I think for us as Christians, if you really don't know where you're at, you don't know how to get farther along from where you're at, just this is the magic answer, obedience. And so Jesus said it in John, and I think it's in John 14. He says, if you love me, obey my commandments. And I mean, that's as simple as it gets, right? But it's definitely not easy, and I know that, because there's many things. Like, it's hard to know when God is speaking to you. It's hard to listen sometimes when God is speaking to you for whatever reason. And so one of the things that I found is that the easiest way to know that you're being obedient to God, to put yourself under that place, is to listen to your leaders and to... For us as teenagers, it's so important that we listen to our My City leaders and our parents and the people that are just over us. And so I found that, yeah, all the parents and leaders are thanking me right now. But so if we could go to Hebrews 13:17, and like this just lays it out perfectly. And it says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Another version says, as those who are accountable to God. And so do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. So, I mean, there it is right there, right? Like Rudy says, the Bible has everything. And so I remember a time in my life, and this is where I'm speaking from, is it's a really long story, but I only have 10 minutes, so I'm just going to condense it as much as I can. But the gist of it is I had kind of a thing with this girl, and so... The gist of it is we started off things in the wrong way, and we had to pay consequences for that. But after that, I decided that I wanted to do things right. And by do things right, I mean just all in. I was praying, talking constantly to my leaders. I was reading my Bible. I was setting boundaries. I was doing everything that I knew that was right. But at one point, I just realized that it wasn't going anywhere, and that even though I was doing all the right things, that I wasn't doing the one right thing, which was to cut that off of my life. And, you know, just a little side note, just because you're doing some of the things that we say are the right things, like praying or serving somewhere else, doesn't mean that you're under, you know, the covering of God. Because I know that God wasn't the center of my life at that point. And that's when Travis came in and just totally wrecked me to let go of that. when I did that, That was one of the times that my life just sped up so much. Just a few months after that, I had the most close, intimate encounter that I've ever had with God, where I was reaffirmed of my identity and my purpose. And that year, I remember that year at summer camp, this was this past last year, I just could totally feel it, that I was in tune with the Holy Spirit. And people would tell me, like, I was talking to them and they would say, like, dude, just that thing that you said, that was exactly what I needed to hear. And, or this thing that you did, it really reminded me of God in my life. And that happened because I chose to be obedient and let go of that relationship at one point. And so my biggest point that I want to get to you guys is that you need to obey, that you should obey, even if you don't understand it, or even if you think your leader is wrong. Because I know that for me, I didn't understand it, what they said, because I was doing all the right things. I was doing everything that I knew was right. I was honoring God. But I still had to do it. I had to obey. And I delayed it for way too long, and I ended up regretting that. But I know that once I listened, that it was the best thing for my life. And another story, if we could go to 1 Samuel 24, verses 5 and 6. And so this is when David, this is before he's king, and he's being persecuted by Saul, and he's hiding in a cave, and Saul doesn't know that he's there. And David sneaks up on him, and he cuts off a piece of his robe. And so this is what it says in verse 5. And afterward, David's heart struck him, because he had cut off a corner piece of Saul's robe. And I'm just going to read up from the screen. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. And verse 6, he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this to my lord the king. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him." And so, I mean, this is obviously a little extreme for us. I really hope that you're never in a situation like this with one of your leaders. that would be an interesting pastoral care problem for Pastor Drew and Emma. But the way that I see it in my life is that, you know, God forbid that I would dishonor my leaders, because God has put them there for a reason. And so I know that one of two things can happen when you listen, when you obey. And that's either that your leaders are right and listening to them is going to bring a blessing to your life that you couldn't see coming. And I know that's what happened for me. Or they might be wrong. They might not be really in tune with God. But God is going to honor your obedience anyways, and he's going to give you that blessing. Like, and like we know that from David, right? He chose to honor God's chosen king, even though he was not a great king. He was, you know, not doing things God's way, not listening to God. And God blessed him and made him the king after that. So you do get that blessing after. And you know, that's really because, and it's taken me a while to learn this, but God cares. It's taking me a little bit of trouble, but God cares less about you being right than about you being obedient and submitting. And I, as a person that I know, I like to try to be right, and I love arguing with people. Well, not arguing. I love debating. Like, that's one of the things that I love. And it's usually always about being right or getting to the truth. But I know that that's not how it works with God. That's not how it works in the church. You can't keep on debating and justifying yourself to see if you're right. At the end of the day, it comes down to when you're given an instruction, can you follow it or not? And that's what God honors. But you know, out of this what I'm talking about, I really don't want any of you to see it as you performing for God's love or his approval. That this isn't about obedience being the thing that makes God love you, that makes God want you in his house. You know, God loves you the same as, you know, yesterday, today, and forever. And I know that for me, God didn't love me anymore the day that I decided to obey him. I know that God doesn't love me anymore any time that I choose to obey my leaders, because he loves me just the same forever and always. And, you know, the opposite of that is true. I know that God wouldn't love me any less if I hadn't listened. I know that God's love is everlasting, and it stays the same. It's consistent. And so this, what I'm trying to speak to you guys is just that this is just one way for you to accelerate your life. You know, what we're talking about, it's just one way for you to see God move in your life. And if you really don't know how to do that, if you think, you know, I've been coming here or I want to see God move in my life, but I haven't read my Bible. I can't quote scripture. I'm not really good at praying, things like that. If you just put yourself under someone's authority who has been through that, then you'll see God move in your life. And so, yeah, if I can just pray over you guys. And if you really feel just that God is speaking to you, that you feel maybe you've had a resistant spirit, because I know I had it. I know that you can feel it within you, that when you know something is wrong, when you know that there's really, you know, however much you try to justify it, that there's still something that you're not listening to. If you really feel like you have that spirit, just really feel this in your heart. So, Father God, I thank you for this place, God. I thank you for these people. I thank you that you have put me here, God, and that I've gone through what I've gone through, God, so that I could speak this out right now, God. And I thank you, God. We're thankful for whatever situation we're in, God, because every situation, however good or bad, that it's just another place for you to show up, God. So we thank you that you're going to show up in these people's lives, God, and as they choose to lay themselves down, God, to put themselves under you, under someone else's authority, God, that you will honor that, God, more than anything, more than knowledge, more than vision or ambition, God. You honor submission more than anything else, God. So we thank you for every person in this place. Give them the discernment to know where they need to go to give them the strength to carry that out. And just, we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So.
Oh my goodness. Come on. How incredible was that, church? Axel and Rudy, and I actually want to honor his mother, Lupita, who's crying and hugging, because that doesn't just happen by accident. That's the power of a praying mother right there. And Lupita, you are mom goals, and I look up to you, and I pray that Zeke, my little one-year-old, grows up to be like you, Axel. So, all right, you guys, how amazing is church? How good is God? What I love about 3x10 is that we didn't talk about what each other were going to be preaching on, but God is just weaving it together, so I'm just going to keep it going all the way home. All right, so you guys awake? I could just do another altar call. It was that good. Rudy, your message about tuning in, into the voice of God is just incredible, and Axel being obedient, come on. Come on. All right, so as these amazing gentlemen said, the theme is accelerate. And I just want to honor incredible Pastor Emma and Drew and Pastor Jurgen and Leanne, because they have been the voice that has accelerated my husband and I to where we are today. I can guarantee you 1,000% I would definitely not be standing up here today if it were not from the little kick in the booty from my incredible pastors throughout the years. So I'm going to just share a little bit of my story, and just really hope that it speaks to you guys. Actually, I already know it's going to speak to you guys because the Lord told me. Anyway, not too prideful. I'm talking about pride, so it's funny. All right, so I got saved when I was a little girl, when I was in the fourth grade, by myself in my bedroom with my chocolate lab, and I felt the peace of God in that moment, and I knew that was my moment where I experienced salvation. But just because I experienced salvation does not mean that you are just completely like easy street the rest of your life, right? And I desired to do good so bad. I was a people pleaser. I grew up in the church, and my husband and I moved here from the South. We're from Texas, and we stumbled our way into C3 Church. And I remember specifically this day where I was walking the beautiful beach of Del Mar with Pastor Stacy, and I was just telling her, look, I am so religious. I am awesome. Like, I read my Bible, and Stacy was like, did you know that religion is not actually from God? I was like, what? Religion is bad? Like, I esteem to be religious. And I want to really go there with you guys tonight and talk about what the spirit of religion is and why we need freedom from it. And if you guys are feeling confused, it's okay. I was too. We're just going to go on this little journey together, the 7-minute journey. So I was asking God, like, God, how could I have missed this? Like, my whole life, like, I was like, Axel, I wanted to be good, but I wasn't in a spirit-filled church. So I was missing out on the power of God. So all I had was biblical principles and these things that I wanted to do. And I had built up my whole life on being all about works and about showing people that I was good and that I loved God with, you know, so much passion. But you guys, all the religion in the world cannot solve the basic problem that we need reconciliation to God, because religion is based on works, right? And works do not get you to heaven. It's already been done. It is finished through Jesus. All right, so we're going to kind of unpack this, but I wanted to give you guys a metaphor if you're still feeling a little confused, okay? Just let's do this. All right, so who in here likes art? Cool, okay. Well, if you don't like art, it's okay. I avoided art history like the Black Plague in college. But I have been to an art museum, and I have gone through the art walls and, you know, tried to be all smart, and I see this piece of art. I'm like, oh, this is what this art means, and this is what it's meant to speak, and da-da-da-da. Okay, you guys, I am projecting onto that piece of art what I think the artist meant when he created it. okay? It is not until you actually meet the artist and he tells you the inspiration for this art piece that you can actually truly know why he created that piece of art. All right? So go there with me. This is what religion is. It is projecting onto God who you think you are, and even scarier, who he is. That is religion, okay? You guys are still looking at me like, what? It's okay. It's okay, guys. All right, I'm going to read a scripture, okay? All right, so Romans 8, 4 through 8, 4, 8, 9 through 10. You can put it on the screen. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I am reading verses from this piece of scripture, the Message version, because we're not getting religious. We're going the Message, okay? All right, so the law always ended up being used as a Band-Aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing. And God is not pleased at being ignored. So, what that scripture is saying is that when you project onto God who he is, without actually asking him who he is, and allowing yourself to hear who he says you are, you're just going to be on this hamster wheel, all right? And I tried to accelerate my life as hard as I could on a hamster wheel because it was religion, and it was not a relationship, and it was not receiving the power of God through the Holy Spirit, and that's the difference. So I'm going to even go a step further. All right, are you guys okay? Do I have permission? Okay, religion is pride, all right? Pride is putting your ways above God's ways. And this is the very thing that Lucifer got kicked out of heaven for. He got kicked out of heaven because he thought his ways were better than God's ways. And when you get into that place where you think you know better than God, and it's dressed up really pretty, it's like a painted pig, you guys. Like, it is hard to spot on the street. But when you really break it down, when you really realize, oh my goodness, like, I'm doing everything that I think everybody else is doing from the outside, but on the inside, you know when you need reconciliation. You know when something's not right. You know when you're feeling exhausted by opening up your Bible, or exhausted by checking off the Bible study list, or checking off the to-do list of what you think is going to accelerate your life, and you end up nowhere, and you're like, God, why? Why is this not working for me? What am I doing wrong? It is religion, and it is so sneaky, you guys. So I'm just devil scared because I'm like, look, I'm unveiling your tricks, and it is ending tonight. Okay? Religion is deception, you guys. It's deception. The Bible says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And that always doesn't play out as like getting wasted or cheating on your husband or some of the things that everybody would obviously say is sin. Sin is just anything that separates you from God. And you can fill up your life with a bunch of things that look really holy that still separate you from God. And I love you too much, church. God loves you even more to let these things get in the way from there being a flow. All right, and I am believing tonight that God is ready to create a flow into your life that's going to accelerate you into the visions and dreams that he put there. It says in Psalms 139 that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You were knit together by your creator. And until you have a relationship with the very one that knit you together, how in the world are you going to know how to get to where he wants you to be? You have to get to that place where you're surrendering your life to God so that the Holy Spirit can come in and do what only God can do. You guys, listen. The Holy Spirit is the missing link. It is the answer. Jesus went to heaven and said, it is good that I go because I am sending you a helper. And that is the Holy Spirit. And he's been shut out of churches because it's hard to let go of control. I get it, guys. I struggled with anxiety, and the root of that was control. If you're in here and you're struggling from anxiety, tonight is the night where it's going to be cast out. Because control is it's not God's best for your life. Control looks good because you think it's going to create this safety and security, but it just puts you in a box with your own thoughts where you can get tormented. And that is not God's best for your life. Okay? All right, so I'm actually going to invite, oh, you're here. Whoa, it's like teleportation. She's going to play something really nice for us. And I'm going to wrap this night up. But I really felt as I was preparing this message, and how good is God to start out the message with Rudy, just really encouraging us to tune our ears to the voice of God and then go into Axel's message of being obedient to the voice of God. I feel like so many people get stuck between hearing God and being obedient. But tonight is an opportunity for you to actually step out in obedience. And my mom actually always says, the hardest part of working out is putting on your tennis shoes, right? Because once you have your shoes on and you're out there, you're kind of committed. Same with the altar. The hardest part, the most resistance comes in just getting out of your seat and meeting God at this altar where there's no shame, there's no condemnation, just the presence of God. And the devil knows what happens on this altar. It's where lives are altered. So he's going to do his darndest to keep you in your seat. But I just want to give you guys an opportunity. And I actually want to close with this scripture. And then we're going to have the ministry team come up. It says in Romans 8, 15 through 17, the resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Father? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are. You see, the easiest way to make sure religion never gets on you is just by asking questions. Because when you ask questions, it creates a two-way communication between you and your Savior. Maybe you've been told who you are by other people in your life. Maybe you've been told some ugly things about who you are. And those words just keep popping in your head. And they've created this distorted view of the painting and the creation that you actually are. And tonight, as you allow the Holy Spirit in, He's going to take those words and He's going to punt them out and He's going to replace them with who you actually are. And if you heard the scripture and you're thinking, my life does not sound adventurously expectant. My walk with God is a little, there's just resistance. Tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Holy Spirit, who is our helper. He's not scary. He's not going to make you do anything super weird. He's just going to do what only God can do. Did you know that you actually can't change the state of your own heart? You can't. No matter how many Bible studies you go to, self-help books you read, no matter how hard you try, the only one who can change your heart is Jesus. And He is so ready. It says, ask and you'll be given. Knock and the door will be opened to you. You just have to ask. You just have to ask. So in this moment, I just would love for you guys to all close your eyes and bow your head. And if something that was said tonight, whether it was by Rudy or Axel or myself, you know that you need to respond because your heart's probably racing. And you're probably thinking, please don't make me raise my hand, God. but I just want to tell you, you're in a safe place. This is the best place to respond to God. This is a safe place to respond to God. So if you have never actually asked God, how are we, Lord? Do we actually have a relationship? Do I actually know you? Then I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. Or maybe you're in here and you've gone to church your whole life. Maybe you come from a Catholic background or a traditional church that doesn't look anything like this church. But you've never actually experienced the power of God in your own life. I want to give you an opportunity to respond, to be obedient to the voice of God. So right now, I'm just going to count to three. And if God is tugging on your heart and you want to step out in obedience and respond to him, then I'm going to ask you to do something super brave. And I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. Thank you, Jesus. One, two, three. Just go ahead and raise your hand. Sweet, I see your hand back there. Thank you, God. I see your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for moving, for loving us so much. It is finished on the cross, guys. It is finished. We just have to step into all that God has for us. We just have to receive all that God has for us. We don't have to stay stuck on our hamster wheels. Tonight is the night that we get off that hamster wheel, that we cast off our own strength and we say no to just running the rat race and just to receive, because that's all that God asks us to do is receive. Thank you, God. Awesome. All right, church, you guys can open your eyes. And I actually like everybody to stand up. And I'd like to invite the ministry team to come down to the front. Because I don't want you guys to miss out on an opportunity to experience the Holy Spirit. That's the next step. First, you make that connection with God. You reconcile your heart to him. But then you actually allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. And that's when things get exciting. That's what that scripture is that talks about having an adventurously expectant life. So I'm just going to open up this altar. I'm going to pray a quick prayer with you guys. And then let's just be altered. Let's let our life be altered. So I'm just going to pray and then invite you to come forward. God, I thank you so much that you are stirring hearts tonight, God. I thank you, Lord, that you are here with power, that you are here with freedom. I thank you, God, that it says in your word, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are casting out anxiety, that you're casting out fear, that you're allowing there to be a flow, God, to accelerate every person in this room into the God-given call on their life. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are going to be speaking, not just tonight, but into this next week, God, that as everyone goes home and they're laying on their pillows tonight, that you're going to be just showering them with who they are to you, God. You're going to be speaking their identity to them, God. I thank you that we are a masterpiece to you, Jesus. So I declare tonight for breakthrough in this place, breakthrough in marriages, God, breakthrough in finances, God, breakthrough in every single area of our lives so that we can see you do mighty works, not just in us, but through us, God. That's the whole point of being accelerated, is to bring everyone around with us. So God, I thank you and I give you glory for what you have done on the cross, but what you are doing tonight. And it's in Jesus' name that we all pray together. Amen.
Yes, come on. Let's give a round of applause for everything God has done tonight. Let's thank God for his goodness, that he's done a mighty work in us to do a mighty work through us. So church, I hope you didn't miss it tonight. We have an opportunity right now for people to come forward and be altered. I'm telling you, don't miss an opportunity like that. My life is what it is because I didn't miss an opportunity like that. So come on, if you're out there and you know that there is something in your life that needs acceleration, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a relationship with God, maybe it's financial, whatever it is, don't miss this opportunity tonight. So come on, we're going to do one more worship song. And as that's happening, I would love to see this altar flooded with people that are adventurously expectant for God to do something new tonight. So come on, let's worship. Let's respond tonight.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.